my calculations are correct, when this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're gonna see some serious shit.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
It's showtime.
Right, welcome everybody to another episode of the VHS Strikes Back. I'm one of your hosts, Chris, and my co-host and very good friend is Dave.
Hey there, Chris, and hello to our listeners out there. Welcome to the VHS Strikes Back, the show where we dust off the old video player and go on a nostalgic journey to look at the good and the bad movies of yesteryear. Now, Chris, what are we going to review this week?
Well, Dave, this is your pick. It is our Christmas movie, really, because it's going to be released just before Christmas. And we're going back to 1988. Our good old friend Bill Murray, Dave, we've done a few of his movies. This is the third movie, I think, we've done of his. So we've had Ghostbusters, we've got Groundhog Day, and now we've got this one, Dave. And this one is Scrooged. So I've never seen this, but I'm interested to know. Well, obviously, I presume it's because of the Ghostbusters rebound and that. But where you stand with this one, Dave, where you watched it, or sort of how many times you've watched it?
So I remember watching this for the first time in 88. So it would have been the end of 88 when it came out around Christmas time. And yeah, I was a massive Ghostbusters fan at the time. And I thought... thought Venkman was the funniest person in there. Now, obviously, we've had discussions about what a sex pest he is when you look back at it now. But yeah, I just thought Bill Murray was really funny, and you know, it just looked from the trailer I remember seeing. So I pestering my dad to go and take me to the cinema. I don't think there are not that many movies that I remember actually going to the cinema with my mum and dad. I remember The Return of the Jedi. I remember this one. I remember Scrooged. I remember being a teenager, you know, watching things like Terminator 2. But yeah, so that, for me, movies were more about the VHS rather than the cinema. But yeah, this is one of those exceptions. And I remember thinking... I think at the time, I thought it was just a bit weird. I don't think I liked it that much, but it's one of those that I think it is the nostalgia. You watch it a bit more, you know, you tape it off the TV when it's on there, and then you catch it occasionally over the years at Christmas time, you know, you might catch a little bit, not watch the whole movie. So it's been a while since I've watched the whole movie again. And yeah, I just think there are some iconic moments in it. And yeah, I feel quite warmly towards this one, Chris. I mean, it is, you know, anchored to it's a retelling, isn't it, of A Christmas Carol. And so, you know, great, great story. We all agree, I think. And so, yeah, I think very warmly about this one, Chris. How about yourself?
Well, it's funny, you know, Dave, because I've never seen it. And I know, obviously... I have a problem with Bill Murray, which we're going to get into, Dave. But as a kid, I really liked Bill Murray. I thought he was a bit of a hero because of Ghostbusters. I watched it so many times, Ghostbusters. I really, really enjoyed the first one. But then obviously, you know, I lost the Comics in Motion trial, Dave, and, you know, Scott from 20th Century Geek absolutely nailed me to the fucking cross with that, didn't he? But no, honestly, I really, really... enjoyed him as it. I love Groundhog Day. So I think for me, that's his best work. I would have said Ghostbusters when I was younger, but as I've got older, I think Groundhog Day, I absolutely love that movie when we did it as well last year. Really, really good. But with this, I think the VHS cover is so iconic, and you knew what it was. It was always in the video shop. I just never watched it. I never, ever got round to actually watching it. So it's sort of like when you said it last week, I thought, you know what? This is going to be great. This is actually going to be something different. It's a bit of Christmas, and I've gone through them. Me and Sam are like watching two or three Christmas movies at weekend now. And I've got to say, Dave, whatever I think of this movie, Netflix want fucking absolutely arresting for some of them Christmas movies they pull out the bag. Fuck me. I watched one last week of this family and this fucking entitled rich kid whose auntie is like fucking some do-gooder who's obviously some multi-billionaire running this fucking like sanctuary for all these fucking kids who've got nothing. And it's the most sickly 90 minutes I'd ever watched. And I enjoyed it at the end, Dave, but it was fucking garbage. I mean, me and you could have set a camera up and acted better. I'm not even lying. It's fucking rubbish. And so whatever I think of this movie, some of the shit that Netflix are peddling on that fucking platform for classic Christmas movies, I have watched some utter garbage. But I'll tell you what, Dave, I'm going to be watching a few more this weekend. I watch a classic and then me and Sam go, what have we got? And some of them are like 80 minutes long and it's absolutely shit on toast, Dave. I've never seen anything like it. But there's something about it where I just end up fucking sat there on Netflix hunting for fucking, you know, these crap movies. But anyway, back to this. So, yeah, I just didn't know what to expect. It's an iconic movie. I know, and a lot of people rate it very highly, and mainly because of Bill Murray's performance. But I was thinking, am I going to enjoy it, Dave? That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, I don't know. I think you got to kind of separate Bill Murray, the person, from, you know, some of Bill Murray's characters. So when Ghostbusters came out, he had another film come out called The Razor's Edge, which was more of a war drama type thing. And, you know, it bombed. It did really terribly. But I think that's probably, you know, he probably saw himself more as a serious actor. But then he's kind of got this persona. And of course, this movie, Chris, directed by the late great legend that is Richard Donner. So Lethal Weapon, yeah. Superman.
Yeah.
But, you know, they didn't get on at all in this movie. And I'll talk a little bit about that when we get into the movie itself. But Chris, should we get into our trailer?
Let's go.
7 o'clock, Psycho sees Santa's workshop, and only Lee Majors can stop them. In the night the reindeer die. Be here.
You can't show that commercial. That thing looked like the Manson Family Christmas special.
Think I'm way off base?
Yes, you're a tad off base, sir.
Frank Cross is more than the youngest network president in television history.
Call security. Have them change his locks and toss him out of the building.
Oh, he's fired?
It's Christmas.
Thank you. Call the county. Stop his bonus. Watch out.
He's a thoughtful boss.
Thanks, boys. Get the nurse.
A generous brother.
What did he give you last year?
I don't remember.
A shower curtain.
Did you, ma'am? I think you dropped something here.
And a true humanitarian.
I can't get the antlers glued onto this little guy. We've tried crazy glue.
Have you tried staples?
But his life is about to change.
Woo-wee! That was a good one.
You are going to be visited by three ghosts tomorrow at noon.
God, tomorrow's bad for me, Lou. As a matter of fact, the whole rest of the week is a washout.
Anyone who thinks he hates Christmas is wrong.
Look out! Come back to Jersey, you moron!
It's ghosts he hates.
I love that bit!
Christmas present.
Bill Murray. Karen Allen.
It sounded like you'd seen a ghost.
A ghost?
John Forsythe. Bobcat Goldthwait.
Hey! You'd rather see me, or is there a shotgun in your pocket? You know this one?
Everybody knows this one. Let's go now.
Yeah, does everybody know this one?
Carol Kane. Robert Mitchum.
I really care!
David Johansen.
Oh, I'm having the weirdest day!
See Bill Murray get Scrooged.
Hey, back off, big man. That may work with the chicks, but not with me.
IBC television executive Frank Cross is pushing his company to broadcast an extravagant live production of A Christmas Carol on Christmas Eve, making the staff work through the holiday. Frank fires executive Elliot Loudermilk for disagreeing with him and sends cheap IBC monogram towels to most of the people on his Christmas list, including his personal assistant Grace and his brother James. Now, Chris, what do you reckon to the opening of this movie?
Well, Dave, his brother James is actually his real brother as well in real life. Yeah. But there you go. His three brothers are in this movie, which I didn't even know he had three brothers, but there you go. Having three brothers myself, I probably should have researched that. But anyway, you know what's funny, Dave? Isn't it interesting that we did, and you picked The Muppets Christmas Carol last year, and then you picked another movie based on the same story.
Are you saying that's really one good. Trick pony?
Well, I'm just saying you're a bit of a boring bastard, really, Dave. Anyway.
I like any Christmas movie, so long as it's an adaptation of A Christmas Carol.
Christmas Carol.
I like a bit of variety.
We haven't come across the Lauren Avedon version yet, Dave. But anyway, you know what, Dave, as well, one. There is still time. You know, we've done 7 movies from Mr. Lauren Avedon, right? And you know, in this, by this, that will change next year, Dave, I will say. But you know, in this movie, there is an actress who we have now covered 8 movies that she's been in. And it'll get, that will actually go up because I'm probably going to pick Lethal Weapon 2 in that. But Mary Ellen Trainer, the late Mary Ellen Trainer, who plays the psychiatrist, she's in this, Dave. So she's been in Ricochet, Die Hard, to name a few. Romance in the Stone. Yeah, Romance in the Stone, everything, The Goonies. So she, this is her 8th movie that we've covered on this podcast. So she gets the award at the moment. But I'm going to make sure Mr. Avedon takes that title for the most covered actor. And I use the word actor loosely, Dave, but let's be honest.
No, I'm surprised, Chris. Did you see Spider-Man posted? There's a teaser trailer now for The Last Kumite. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah, Dave. I'm following it on social media. Don't you worry about that, Mr. Horrocks.
Weirdly, Lauren Avedon hasn't been invited.
But, no, you know, he hasn't. Kiefer Tarley.
It does have, and Kiefer Tarley as well. But Kurt McKinney's in it, Michael Kesey, Cynthia Rothrock. Matthias House, who we obviously covered last week in our Christmas movie, I Come in Peace / Dark Angel.
It does sound like a porno, doesn't it? I Come in Peace. I fucking wish I could, right? Yeah.
But yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. Not to get us off track on Christmas, but super excited about that one.
No, good fun, good fun. But no, Dave, I think what watching this, and obviously it's all set in like New York, isn't it, and that, and it, what I find really difficult watching this movie, it's a comedy, and it's Bill Murray being Bill Murray. But I don't know, it just feels a bit tired in this. Like, it doesn't feel like he's taking any of it seriously. And your stuff that, you know, you said about the Richard Donner stuff, which will be interesting when you tell us about that. But it feels like he just doesn't give a fuck, even more than Bill Murray just doesn't give a fuck. Because you can clearly tell he's blagging most of these movies. And this is like a platform for him to show his comedy. But I find it really like toe curling at times. Not just because I'm being biased against him and the dislike of him. Because like I said, I love Groundhog Day. But I just think, I don't know, there's just something off about this that just doesn't hit for me at all. And the skits he's doing, some of the dialogue is just weird. And yeah, I just didn't enjoy this as much as I did. However, I think there's a great payoff at the end. I'll be honest about that. But I don't want to jump too far. But I don't know, Dave. I find him, he's not funny. And I find that when everyone's fucking fluffing him off and tossing him off how great he is, he's just an arse. He's just a fucking arrogant wanker who's got a platform for just being a prick for me, Dave. I don't get what he's about these days. And I realise that in the 80s, there was a couple of lightning in a bottle movies he did, Ghostbusters and Groundhog Day. But this is fucking bobbins for me. I just don't like what he's doing here.
Coming in hot. You haven't gone off on a bit of a rant for a little while, so it's sort of refreshing, almost nostalgic in itself. But I talked about Richard Donner and Bill Murray not getting on, and apparently, you know, a bit, you're right about how engaged Bill Murray really is. So he did Ghostbusters, like I say, he didn't really think that was going to be the thing that propelled him into stardom. Obviously, he'd done all the Saturday Night Live stuff and in things like Stripes. So he was already at a particular level, but I think he got more famous through that. But I think he took a bit of time out from acting, and then, you know, the kind of roles that were on offer were not the roles that he wanted, so he ended up taking this one. But Richard Donner apparently just kept telling him to do everything louder. You know, they do a take and it's, do it louder. So, and knowing that and watching it this time, I was like, oh yeah, I can kind of see it. So the way he's delivering everything isn't really the actor's choice, but you can still see that there's a bit of like, he's not really that arsed. He does seem like half asleep through most of it, doesn't he? But like the shouting and all that, it just is really over the top. And I don't know why. Is it maybe because I've not watched it from end to end for a good few years, but watching it this time, I was like, oh yeah, it's actually quite jarring. But Chris, we have skipped over the beginning bit, because we get Lee Majors actually playing Lee Majors with a big fucking Jesse Ventura from Predator gun. What was it? The night the reindeer died or something like that. I quite enjoyed that little mini movie at the start there.
$6 million man, Dave. Yes, and you've said that. You've got that little bit of a trivia, Dave. That's going to become quite prevalent, Jesse the Body's gun, because that minigun is now going to be used in two movies we're going to cover in the next 2 weeks. So, yes, Dave, quite a good little segue there for maybe a hint of next week's show. So, yes, I did like that. I did like that. I did like the fact that Lee Major, I love that. And it brings in Lee Majors, Dave, going off on a little tangent. Have you seen the Fall Guy trailer with Ryan Gosling?
Yeah, it looks pretty good, doesn't it?
It looks excellent. No, it does. It looks excellent. I mean, I love Colt Seavers. I'm regularly putting the Fall Guy intro on. I love that fucking, you know, the Unknown Stuntman. I love that tune. I used to have it on me. I used to have a little playlist at one point on iTunes of all like the old things like the A-Team and the Fall Guy. I regularly put the Dukes of Hazzard. It's just the good old boys. And I've got that in my rotation because I love Waylon Jennings, Dave. So a bit of country music. So I'll put that on. But yeah, I love the Fall Guy. But seeing that and then seeing Lee Majors, I used to love that show. I love The Truck as well. Oh, fucking brilliant, brilliant show. But yeah, this was the nostalgia of being a kid. It reminded me, Dave, just a little story for you. 1991, went to a grammar school. There was no girls there, Dave. Fucking hated that. Even at 11 years old, that there was no girls. We had to play fucking rugby. And I think I've mentioned it before. And I tripped over and we weren't allowed to play football. And you know, I'm not the greatest footballer, but I love playing football. I used to play it all day long as a kid. And we used to have to play football with a tennis ball in the fucking yard. That's the only way I could play football at this school. And I fucking hated that school. I lasted a year and a half. However, I did break my ankle on the tennis ball, Dave. I twisted my ankle, which I have glass ankles. Yeah. And the monks, because I worked at Wurz, fucking Wurz. I went to a Catholic school and it was the Christian Brotherhood monks, Dave, who were the most violent bunch of little Irish cunts I have ever seen, Dave. They were horrible and used to kick the shit out of people. And I remember a lad, we used to rob stuff, actually. No one used to beat us up. We used to rob stuff from the canteen. And I remember a lad, and you used to get like flapjacks and put them in your blazer and all this. And this fucking lad robbed a full plate of chips and put them in his pocket, you know, to carry him around in his blazer. Mm. And he was right next to me. And this fucking priest, who was a psycho, and he come over and he literally went past me. I thought, I'm getting a crack in the head here. And I just robbed a fucking flapjack with icing, which was probably staining him inside my finger. And he got fucking battered because he saw him just tip the whole plate of chips in his fucking pocket. Oh. But anyway, I hated that. I fucking hate. He's in Hale, Dave. You know, Ambrose in Hale Bar. Yeah. St. Ambrose, yeah, fucking hated it. Anyway, back to what we're saying. So I broke my ankle and I had to have 2 weeks in a cast. And all I did, Dave, for 2 weeks was amazing. I watched The Rockford Files, James Garner. Fucking Knots Landing with my mum, because my mum and dad loved fucking Dallas and Knots Landing, which was an offshoot of Dallas Knots Landing, on a Monday afternoon. And The $6 Million Man, Dave. Loved that. BBC One in the afternoon was fucking great. And Going for Gold with Henry Kelly. You know, I used to love that one, Dave. That was fucking going for gold. Fucking great shows. So I used to always try and blag fucking school. But I remember having me cast on for 2 weeks and that's all I watched for 2 weeks was The $6 Million Man. Fucking brilliant, Lee Majors. But anyway, it wasn't a wanking story, Dave, unfortunately. I've not got any of them around Scrooge at the moment. Unless someone comes in my head, literally. But no, I think you're right. I think it plays on it all. Sorry, carry on. I keep cutting you off.
Yeah, no, so I did like that little silly kind of video at the start. We keep sort of threatening to do some other kind of spin off the VHS Strikes Back, don't we? Where we go back to things like The Fall Guy. Still want to do that, maybe just as bonus episodes or something. I couldn't find where you could actually stream it. It's probably on YouTube though, isn't it? But
I have an app.
Right. I'm sure you do, but anyway, I was talking about the fall guy.
No, this is the fall into guy, Dave. It's an adult version, but anyway.
You know, someday I am going to track down that video that in Diana Jones.
I fucking bet you will. Yeah.
I just remember seeing it in the video shop. I was like, that is the greatest fucking porn parody title I've ever seen. But when it gets back to the executives, and you're seeing Murray's performance with his executives and just being all over the top and stuff, I thought it was interesting to see Bobcat Goldthwait, you know, because I normally know him as Zed from Police Academy. And he's kind of at the start of the movie, he's really a toned down character, isn't he? And I'm thinking, okay, this is going to be, because I'd not seen it for a few years. So I'm thinking in my head, all right, this is your Bob Cratchit sort of character. But it wasn't really, was it? He was more like a side character, because Grace was more of the kind of Bob Cratchit character. But I like how he's basically just turfed out, and you just see that, you know, Murray's character is just an absolute arse, isn't he? He's just horrible to everyone. But I must admit, Chris, even though I feel like there's so many iconic moments in this, it's quite boring, a lot of it. When I watched it this time, I just thought there was so many quiet spaces in between. I just found it a little bit of a slog, if I'm honest.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm totally with you. It runs about an hour and 40, and it's a long hour and 40, 100 minutes. It really is. And I did like the bit, though, Dave. I do like that sort of thing. It's sort of like a bit like a Planes, Trains, and Automobiles thing when he steals the cab off that old woman. And he's like, you've dropped something there, lady. And she goes, what? And he gets in and she's like, hey. And then he puts his middle finger up. She goes, you fucking son of a bitch. You know, she changes from that. I like that sort of comedy. That's like my, you know, the stupidness of it all. Like, you know, because I've done that where you're like, you know, you must have done it. We've all done it, Dave. Or your mates in front of you in fucking assembly, or you're at work and you tap them on the shoulder and do the old look to the right, but you're on the left and you sat there smirking like a little fucking kid. I still do that at 45 years old with people. The old classic when you're in this fucking eating at work, but or a wet willy, Dave, in the air. That nothing beats a wet willy in the air. That's fucking minging. But and I mean a finger, everyone, by the way. My fucking cock won't fit in your ear. Well, it might do if it's too small.
But no
but I think you're right. I think that there's a lot of like slow bits to it, and I don't think the payoff with Grace is there. Like, it shows a little bit of her background, doesn't it? Where like the family saying like, if you had a bonus and everything, and he's been an arse with her, and he wants to be the centre of attention, but then he's doing that classic Cilla Black type thing, Dave, where, or Bruce Forsyth, where lovely on screen because you're the persona of this lovely, nice person, but off screen, apparently, allegedly, you're an absolute arse, Dave. And that's exactly what he is. He's telling them at this fucking meeting, like this awards thing in a humanitarian, whether it is, how fucking, you know, busy he is and what he gives back to everyone. And it's that old saying, isn't it? If you've got to tell people that, then it's probably not fucking true, is it? You know, so he delivers that well. I think there's bits of it that I can get on board with, I love the Christmas Carol tale. I love like the fucking Muppets one last year. I think when we did that, I was fucking welling up at the end, Dave. It's ridiculous, you know, watching it. But with this, I think what you've just said, and knowing that about him being shouty and told and getting that direction from Donna, even though it's probably going against everything Bill Murray believes his character should be, then that would make more sense. And I can get on board with that. I can actually, even though I've come in a bit hot at the start, now you telling me that makes sense, because a lot of his... And it feels as if when he's saying louder and he's going louder and he's like shouting and doing it, it's like he's actually taking the piss out of Richard Donner. That would make sense. You know, as in, well, you're telling me to go loud. I'm just going to fucking ruin your film. And that's what it feels like at times with his character, doesn't it? It feels like he's just being completely over the top to the point where he's almost parodying himself. And he's like, and Richard Donner's probably going, that's fucking great, Bill. And Bill Murray's thinking, this is fucking rubbish. So... I think you're right. That's a great spot.
I mean, I don't think he's probably not trying to ruin the movie, but, you know, he's kind of like, he's not passionate enough about the movie to argue that that's not the right artistic direction. You know, so telling him, make it louder. All right, you fucker, right. Have a look at this then. You know, obviously, if a movie bombs, it's quite a risky thing for an actor, isn't it? Because if you become associated with, you know, cinema bombs, then people don't want to hire you and you can't command a higher fee for the next movie. So I do think there's probably a bit of petulance in there. But Chris, when he gets visited by the first ghost, and I do find it weird because they're doing, in this universe, A Christmas Carol exists. So, because they're literally shooting it, aren't they? You know, they're doing a live TV showing of it. So the story exists, but at no point does Bill Murray acknowledge the fact that, you know, he seems to be in some sort of Christmas Carol rerun. But when the Marley type character shows up, so his mentor is Lou Hayward. Chris, I remember, you know, because I watched this in the cinema. I remember thinking, bit fucking scary, this. I think the makeup and everything, the practical effects, I thought were really good, but they were good and in keeping with a horror movie, not, you know, a sort of, I mean, it is a bit of a cynical, kind of mean-spirited retelling of A Christmas Carol, isn't it? Rather than the heartiness of the original. Certainly the Muppets when we watched that last year. But yeah, I thought the makeup was really good in this bit.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it is. It really is scary. And it's the guy out of Dynasty, isn't it? Like you say, John Forsythe. It's like a legend of fucking daytime TV, I suppose, Dave, or soap operas and that. He was the main guy. He was in every episode. But no, I think you're right. I think that whole direction of it and the way he, like, I like the way he lifts him outside the fucking, you know, the actual building.
It looked great,
you know,
that.
Yeah, honestly, it does. I'm with you on that. I think, like, even some of the Ghostbusters stuff, I know, like, when Ghostbusters was at 84, but some of that, it still stands up. And this was a really interesting little bit of, would you call it CGI, Dave? What would you call it?
It's special effects, but, I mean, it's, they used to use animation, didn't they? So, you know, that's how they kind of got around. There was no computers involved, but it was just people animating stuff like in the old style, if you like.
Yeah, right. Yeah, honestly, and then it's really good. It's really, really good. And I think when he gives him the shit when he drops him, and then you do sort of get that bit of anxiety as he's dropping from the building, and then he ends up back in the chair, doesn't he? And jumps up, and he's like, "I'm back," and he starts being a bit of a arse again because he said to him, "You're going to get the three ghosts are going to come," and at 12 o'clock, and I love the fact I like the fact he's having that meal, and there's a glass eye in the fucking and he's looking down like. Fucking, and he's looking at the guys just to say, "You're the fucking ghost, aren't you? You're the ghost." And then he's not; it's the guy in the taxi, isn't it? You know, and he doesn't know where they're going to strike through the movie. So there is a little bit of that where it's a little bit of surprise. And I think you're right about the boring bits, but there is still some good bits in it, and I do think it gets better as the movie goes on. It takes a long time to buy into, you know. Him as a character, Frank as a character, you know, the exec being a knob to Grace, which I've just realised, Dave, was actually Mariah Dillard Stokes in Luke Cage, which is an underrated series. Them two, I love that.
Very good.
Luke Cage on Netflix. She was brilliant. She took over for Marshall Ali as well. But genuinely, I think there is some good bits as it goes on, and it tells the story a little bit better when the ghosts come in of A Christmas Carol. I think to get to that point, once Lou Hayward comes in and he's his mentor and he's like the ghost, because when his arm's falling off and he's dangling down, that's how he falls off. You know, all good effects, all little bit of jeopardy. I think that's when it changes a little bit, is when Murray actually has to be a bit more humble and not just be this over-the-top, you know, absolute arse of a character, you know, Ebenezer Scrooge as such. That's when I think it gets going for me. And I think there is a lot more enjoyment out the last half of the movie than there is the first half. It really is a difficult slog for me at the start.
I think you're right. And it does pick up. I guess one of the problems I had watching it this time was it just takes so fucking long to get to that first ghost. Yeah, I think they probably could have edited that maybe a little bit tighter, maybe tightened up the story as well, because, you know, we kind of know the ghosts are the where it gets good, isn't it? You know, that's where he starts to learn the lessons, you know, and we kind of know, I think we spent a long time just establishing that he's this mean-spirited TV executive. But what I also found interesting, when he gets to the Ghost of Christmas Past, and it's actually the guy's name is it David Johansson? So he's the singer of the New York Dolls, apparently. And, you know, he's like a New York cabbie. So there's a big, heavy dose of New York throughout this, isn't it? And he goes to him as a kid. And it's like his dad, you know, his mum kind of gave a shit about him. His dad didn't. He gives him like 40 pounds of veal for Christmas or something. And it's like there's something wrong with this kid because he watched so much TV. I felt like, you know, that was the message, or at least the message I took away. It was like, oh, he loved TV, so he ends up becoming this toxic, you know, horrible TV executive. And it's like, I'm not sure I kind of get that bit at all. But yeah, I did like that. And also, Chris, when it gets into more about his past, and you get to find out why Claire calls him Lumpy. You know, the actor's played by Karen Allen. I don't know if you remember her from Indiana Jones, Chris. She's
Is she the young girl? The young, right.
So
yeah.
The one who Indy was obviously had this relationship when, you know, he's about 39, but she was a student or something. Very questionable.
Yeah, allegedly. I think she's younger than that, Dave, I believe. But anyway.
Yeah, I definitely had a bit of a crush on her around this time. But you get to see this, you know, sort of better relationship. But I don't know, the Ghost of Christmas Past stuff, kind of, yeah, didn't really do it for me. You got to see Murray with the wig on, you know, when he's more of like an intern, you know, and you get to see the party and everyone's having a good time, and he's just there, you know, doing his job and stuff. I don't know, there was something that didn't hit for me in this bit.
You know what, Dave? Funny that, because I thought that bit, I actually like that bit. Where his hair was all messed up, or like you say, he's got like the long sort of hippie-ish haircut, and a little bit longer, and he's got the jeans on and the trainers, and he just fades into the background. I found that quite relatable, to be honest. But then when she was chinning him, the fucking fairy, and I believe she actually busted his lip as well. He had to stop filming for a few days. She actually proper cracked him. But I didn't find that was any good. I like the fact that someone was actually punching Bill Murray, because I was frustrated with his character up to this point. I did enjoy that. And knowing that it was a real punch that she got him with was even better. But no, I thought that was quite relatable, to be honest, because you get that, like, characters in stuff like this where the world's just passing them by, you know, they're in the background, they're not the center of attention, they're not enjoying themselves, they're just sort of getting on. And then he's always got this dynamic of the girl who he likes, aren't he? You know, in the real world, she tries to sort of be his anchor, his sort of earth rod, to not be horrible. Because there is a point there where he gets Gracie's fucking son and pins him up. Now, I'm not being funny, Dave. You'd have fucking absolutely chinned him. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. And Gracie's like, that's my son, what are you doing? And he's got the trauma of, like, he's with his dad dying, he's never spoken, has he, and all that, you know, and it's not, like, he's got PTSD.
Not just
but yeah,
died,
there's no way you get
been
away with
murdered,
that.
Chris. Again, there is a very hard edge to this movie. Sinister. Yeah, and like some of the bits, I think that's why something just jarring with me this time. And honestly, like I say, I've thought about this movie very fondly over the years, but I hadn't noticed little things like this, like the kid's not talking because his dad was fucking murdered. And it's like, ultimately, you want to think of the original story where you've got this billionaire who doesn't treat his workers very well. I mean, basically, you're fucking Victorian Tory, Chris. I just feel like they've tried to modernize it, but I think they've sort of missed the point a bit in some of the areas, you know, in trying to make it more modern. I think they've just missed the spirit of it a bit.
Well, I will say, Dave, and I agree with that. I do want to talk about the end, but I do agree. And I love the fact that, you know, Zed out of police, a bobcat there, he's trying to kill him with a shotgun and he gives him a position. Not like, and then there's a bit where the shotgun only takes his head off because he breaks his award and he picks the award up. Now, if someone's shooting a fucking shotgun at me, Dave, I am jumping out the nearest fucking window or doing something to fucking get out of the way of that. That's when you know it's the comedy element, but it gives him a position because obviously he sacks him at the start, doesn't he? And I understand that. But also one little thing, what a nod, Dave. John Glover's in this, Dave. The old Lionel Luther from Smallville. Absolute legend in Smallville. Right. He's in it. The guy has the meal with the flick, the Tony Hadley haircut.
Chris, while we're talking about, you know, different other guest appearances that you hadn't noticed, there was a reoccurring actor who was in last week's I Come in Peace. And that was the final thing that sealed the deal to make me pick this one. Did you spot him? So when he goes with the Ghost of Christmas Future, and I do like the fake out, by the way. So that bit definitely made me laugh, where the elevator opens and it's the Ghost of Christmas Future, this big death-like looking character, but it's actually just an actor.
Yeah.
Well, when he goes to the like the homeless shelter or the soup kitchen or whatever, he meets Herman, and then the Ghost of Christmas Future, he sees Herman. He's basically frozen, holding the watch. Do you remember that bit? So he's in like just been smacked in the face with a toaster by the Ghost of Christmas present.
Oh, yes.
Drops into the sewer, and then he comes across Herman. He's basically died. He's frozen to death. And he's like, why didn't you stay with Claire? And, you know, you'd have been warm or whatever. That is played by Michael J. Pollard, who played the legendary character last week, Chris, of Boner. Now, Boner was one of the informants that was in the strip club.
Fuck me, Dave. Well, that is a fucking reach you've gone with there.
Stretch.
Fucking Boner. I thought you were going to say the Grim Reaper was the fucking him, I Come in Peace, the fucking whatever he's called him out of No Shit, No Surrender. I thought that's what you were going to say. Fucking hell, Dave. That is a classic reach. I'll give you that.
There's just
brilliant.
Something about his face, his features, just quite distinctive. So when I saw him in I Come in Peace, I was thinking, I recognize him, and then went off on an IMDb trip and then found that, yeah, it is him, and it was Scrooge that I recognized him from.
Oh, fucking brilliant. I love that. I was waiting for some big reveal then, you know, like it was fucking Dolph Lundgren was doing
Michael
a fucking Pollard, cameo or something.
You offending him. If you're listening, Michael, it was Chris who said that. The legend,
yeah.
Also in Last Kumite and not Lauren Avedon.
Fucking stop it. Right, anyway, back to the movie. But no, I do think, Dave, I think what you were saying about the movie, like, and it is, there is like a proper different tone to this, like, tale, as they're saying, and that's fine. It's a different, it's a black, like a black comedy in it, really, in some respects. But I will say that he's not a very redeemable character, Frank. However, I do love it when someone who's been a complete prick in a movie sort of then sees the error of the ways and tries to amend it. For a while, like A Christmas Carol, you know, like Michael Caine's character last year, I was going to say last week, last year. I do like what happened at the end. And I love the fact that the lad speaks and stuff. I'll be honest with you, Dave. There's a little bit of a fucking lump in the throat at that point. I think in some respects, there was a nice payoff at the end and the nice, like, respect. He gives fucking Zed the job, Donny Elliott. He gives, you know, Grace, he's now like, she loves him because he's on the screen doing this, like, rant. We haven't even mentioned Robert Mitchum, the legend. Robert Mitchum's the exec, and he's going mental, but it actually ends up resonating with the audience more than they think. They think it's going to be a disaster, and he doesn't commit career suicide. I like the end bit. I will say that's the best part of the movie. I think Bill Murray's in his element playing that, like, sort of redeemable bad guy, but there's a plenty of bits in this movie I don't think he's redeemable, but I did like the payoff at the end. I did enjoy that.
It's just the best redemption story, isn't it? You can't really mess that bit up. But I agree. I mean, it does get much, much more heartwarming. Again, a little bit of a horror movie sort of scene, I would say, Chris, is when he's in the coffin being burned alive. Again, that misses the mark for me. Horrifying, but it misses the mark in terms of, you know, in the original story, he's seeing, you know, the he's going to die and no one gives a shit, basically. And that's the, oh, shit, you know, I need to change my ways. As opposed to being burned alive in a coffin, you know, that is just horrifying for 100% of the world. Even if you are the most fucking, the nicest person, if you are Ned Flanders, you are still going to be fucking horrified by that. So again, that's why I'm saying there's just a slight misfiring on the story that it's telling, I think. But I agree, when he comes back and I just can't help but love Bobcat Goldthwait, if I can get his name right. Just the way he's like trying to kill him, but then he's like, what the fuck's going on? And just there's something about the delivery of the way he speaks and everything. It just, so he gets the, you know, gets the job and what have you. And like you say, Grace gets the rise and what have you. I did feel like, you know, we'd seen the kid, you know, not speak for ages, and then he comes out with the God bless us, everyone, you know, and then it's just sort of skimmed over. It's just, all right, nice one.
Yeah.
And then, right, let's talk to the TV again. I did think it was good, though, and I did like the fact that they finished off with the song. You know, I do like a song, and I do wonder, though, how much of that, it did seem quite fragmented. There was something a bit live about it. I just wonder how many takes were done of this. It wasn't like a perfect execution. And when Murray's doing the whole feed me Seymour, so he'd been in Little Shop of Horrors the year before this. And I'm like, what a fucking inside joke that is. You know? So it's just randomly sort of thrown in there. So I don't know. It felt very much like a musical jam at the end, you know, as opposed to this tight choreographed thing.
No, and it's funny, you know, Dave, because I've changed my opinion knowing there was a bit of conflict, not necessarily completely, but I have changed it a little bit, knowing that Bill Murray and fucking Donna were at loggerheads. And I think that was something we saw with like Thing as well, didn't we? Superman Dave as well. There was stuff with Richard Donner, you know.
It could be
a little bit awkward. Well, that's what I mean. But obviously, it's one of them things where you look at like how the movie comes across and what they were going for. And it's got a good rating. It's not like it's terrible. It's 6.9 on IMDb, Dave. It's like in the 70s to 80% on a lot of the review aggregators. So it's not like it's terrible. Do you know what I mean? But it probably is in some people's rotation every year. But for me, it just wasn't. It wasn't what I expected, if that makes sense. It just wasn't. I didn't expect to be so like, oh, fucking hell, come on, get on with it. This is Bobbins. Bill Murray's just absolutely just fucking phoning this one in. So, yeah, interesting. But like I say, it did get me at the end. So it's obviously done its job to a point anyway.
Yeah, awesome. So have you got any other bits, or should we go into our final review?
Oh, let's get into the review. Dave, I wasn't sure where to go with this. And I know I'm conscious of like, you know, absolutely getting slaughtered on the Ghostbusters thing by Scott. And, you know, I got my ass handed to me literally because I was so fucking bobbing. My defense was fucking my defense was almost as bad as United, no, Dave. But there you go. Steady. Steady. We're the informed. If you don't mind, Dave, we've got the manager and player of the
month. Fucking
Maguire. So, yeah. If you don't mind. For all our frailties, running 3 points behind City, Dave, with the fucking title charge going on in the second half of the season. Fucking unbelievable. Right, let's not talk about football. I'm talking utter shit there at that point. But I did, in parts, I got on board with it. but it's just a real slow burner. And Bill Murray is just, at the start especially, fuck me, he's unforgivable the way he's just hamming it up and he just doesn't give a fuck. And I know that's Bill Murray. People's like, but that's his skit. I didn't get it. It feels tired in this. It feels like he just didn't care. But the payoff at the end, I enjoyed. So I think for me, it's going to be an Elm Street again. I've seen quite a lot of things in Elm Street, Dave. I'm not happy about this, but I've not really laid into a movie properly. But it's just off. And it's a Christmas movie. I can understand why people like it, but it's not for me at all. So yeah, Elm Street, Dave. And I'd say bottom half of Elm Street, nearly into And I said an older one, Dave. Is it older one? I can't even remember. It's been that long.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's older one, isn't it? Not a Phantom Zone there.
No, Phantom Zone, that's it. Scott, Blake referenced that the other week on Discord. Yeah, I like it. What about yourself, Dave?
Well, Chris, when I cast my mind back, I realise I am in this reoccurring storytelling in my own mind of, I keep thinking of Scrooged as one of my favourite Christmas movies. And then it years will pass by, and that's what will be in my head. And then I watch it, and then it disappoints me. But there are some great, great moments in this. But as an end-to-end movie, it does fall short a bit. It was really interesting going back and understanding a bit more of the conflict that was behind the scenes. And that definitely, in my mind at least, it explains why the movie turned out being what it is. But I think for such a classic story, I just think it's been done better. You know, there have been better adaptations of it. Even last year, you know, you had Spirited with Ryan Reynolds and what's his name? Will Ferrell. For me, that was a better, more imaginative retelling. So, yeah, I think nostalgia is going to pull this one up a little bit for me, though. I think it's higher than an Elm Street for me. It'll be another Hill Valley. I think last week I put it in a Hill Valley as well. But it could have been so much better, I feel. But still, it's still going to be in my, not yearly rotation, but every 5 years or so when I forget that it's so boring at the start. And, you know, like I say, for the individual moments that are in there, I think it's worth watching. But yeah, not probably in my top 10 Christmas movies, I wouldn't say.
No, good sort. And it's definitely not in mine, Dave. I'll be honest with you. But anyway, Dave, now for something completely different. So our newest Patreon, Sergeant, has picked one, Dave. And this is a movie I've actually covered on the Comics in Motion, but it wasn't with yourself, Dave. So we have never done this on this podcast. And it's probably the most iconic movie for quotes and pop culture references and visual pop culture references. So I'm going to, just before, you know, everyone's going to know, if you've watched the movie, you might know some of these quotes. However, I'm going to throw in some of the most ridiculous quotes from this one. And you mentioned Jesse Ventura, Dave. Jesse the Body Ventura, if you're a wrestling fan. And one of the quotes, he says, he doesn't speak like that. I can't do his voice, but he says, this stuff will make you goddamn sexual Tyrannosaurus, just like me. And then another co-star, Dave, or the main star, says, so you cooked up a story and dropped the six of us in a meat grinder. I don't know who that's supposed to be, Dave. But anyway... But one of the most iconic ever comments, and it just falls behind this actor's famous line, is "Get to the chopper." So, Dave, we are going back to 1987, and it is Predator. Roll "Long Tall Sally," Dave, by Little Richard. Let's get into the trailer.
Oh, such a classic! It's fucking brilliant. It's so good.
Not assassins. Now, what are we going to do?
In a part of the world where there are no rules.
We pick up their trailer, chopper, run them down, grab those hostages before anybody knows we were there. What do you mean we?
Deep in the jungle, where nothing that lives is safe.
You lose it here, you're in a world of hurt.
Say Apollo never dies, Dave.
Knock, knock.
An elite rescue squad.
Fuck, you're
bleeding, man.
I got time to bleed.
is being led by the ultimate warrior.
We need the best. That's why you're here.
But now...
It's weird because of the same lights in this. Who directed the Lethal Weapon in the same
room. Yeah, yeah.
And then the only thing that ever bugs me about this movie, Dave, is the hide behind the fucking castaway at the end.
She says the jungle.
Ending.
Just
wide. Fucking hide behind. You've been watching Arnold Schwarzenegger, Carl Weathers, everyone smiling, the fucking Predator.
But it sees the
Shane Black there.
And the heat of our fear.
Whatever it is out there, it killed Hopper. And now it wants us.
It kills for pleasure.
Fucking great end to this.
It hunts for sport.
He's killing us one at a time.
We're all gonna die.
But this time, it's picked the wrong man to hunt.
If it bleeds, we can kill it.
He's supposed to be doing a new Predator art with that.
It's weird.
Century Fox presents Arnold Schwarzenegger. Predator. The hunt begins Friday, June 12th at theaters everywhere.
So fucking good, Dave. I can't wait for this. I can't. Great pick. Great pick. And it's a perfect New Year's Eve fucking movie, Dave.
So for our... Because obviously our Patreons get the releases for our episodes a bit early. This will actually come out on Christmas Day, Chris.
it'll brilliant. It's hard to do business.
So, and it's weird, isn't it? You say, I think you did it with Matt from Jasper Reviews on the Comics in Motion podcast. I think I was away with work or something. We wanted to get something out that week. And then we also did the Predator Minute, didn't we? I think it was... which minute was it? It was something like 89, I think it was. So that was good with John and Jeff across there. We had a good old laugh about that. But you and I have never actually talked about the whole movie. So it's going to be interesting. And to be honest, Chris, for me, this one is a bit of a Christmas movie as well. Now, I'm not going to give the Die Hard type argument, but it's more the, you know, I usually do this as well as, you know, if you go away somewhere for the summer or whatever for summer holidays, I do just love taking time off work at Christmas, switching, you know, the mobile phone off and everything, and I'll just watch a few movies. And this is in my rotation for Christmas. So it does actually, to me, it feels like a Christmas movie just because it's that sort of time of year. But honestly, I can't wait to watch this one. I don't think I've watched it this year, so... Good to get this one in.
No, it's brilliant. And honestly, I'm the same. I cannot wait myself. A massive thanks for you today, mate, for picking Scrooge and Sarge for picking Predator. I cannot wait. And as always, if you want to email us, vhsstrikesback@gmail.com. If you want to follow us on social media, @vhsstrikeback. If you get a chance as well, guys, could you try and review the podcast for us? Good, bad. If it's a bad one, we'll read them out. We love slating each other. If you slate Dave, I'll read it out with an extra Bill Murray loud voice as well, which will be amazing. But get over to your podcast catching up and do that for us if you can. If you want to support us a bit more, get over to patreon.com/thevhsstrikesback. So the roll call of honour for today, and a big thank you is to Sergeant Lee, Helen, Dylan, Stephen, Trent, Dan, Justin, Susan, Timothy, Matt, Heath, Kent, Lucky Lulu Green, Herb Jacks, Matt Blake, John Hammond, and Mr. Tony Farina. So thank you so much for all your support this year, guys. And this obviously will be our last podcast for 2023. So 2024... we'll start with a Patreon pick and then it's my pick. And can we go for the eighth movie in the Lauren Avedon, whatever, it's not a trilogy, I don't know what it is, Dave, or will I pick something actually good for a change? So let's see.
Well, Chris, thank you very much for that. I want to say Merry Christmas to everyone out there. Or if you're listening to this a little bit later, as Eddie Murphy said, Merry New Year. And so if you get everything you wanted and have a great time. Now, Chris, I am going to finish this off with a bit of a bizarre quote. It's when Frank Cross is in the restaurant and he's seeing things that other people aren't seeing, and then he just puts the waiter out, you know, he throws water over the waiter, and he says, "I'm sorry, you know, I thought you were Richard Pryor." Merry Christmas, everyone. Bye now.
Bye.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over. What the fuck are we going to do now?
What are we going to do? Maybe we could build a fire, sing a couple of songs, huh? Why don't we try that?
We better get back, because it'll be dark soon, and they mostly come at night. Mostly.
I'll be back.
That's odd.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Wax on, wax off.
One ring the bell.
All right.
Ding, ding.
Bust you up.
Go for it.
Well, here we go.
Ain't so bad. Ain't so bad. Ain't so bad. Come on. Ain't so bad. Ain't enough. Come on.
You must be crazy or something.
I'm crazy.
You're just a stupid
fool. Yeah, maybe you're stupid.
You're crazy.
I ain't breathing heavy.
He's a fool. He's stupid.
I've seen you in 6 months.
I must break you.